Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. In Rome, the final farewell for Pope Francis as cardinals have performed the rite of burial. Francis Cardinal Giovanni Battista through an interpreter.
Pope Francis used to conclude his speeches and meetings by saying, "Do not forget to pray for me."
Caro Papa Francesco,
now, dear Pope Francis,
chiediamo a te,
we now ask you
per noi,
to pray for us.
CBS's Tina Kraus is there.
The solemn funeral mass for Pope Francis drew hundreds of thousands of mourners to Vatican City.
In mezzo alla gente.
He was a pope among the people.
Francis's simple wooden coffin was placed in St. Peter's Square for the service, close to Catholic leaders and dignitaries, including President Trump.
I'm Seth Doan in front of St. Mary Major, the basilica here in Rome that is now the final resting place of Pope Francis, his coffin in that white Pope Mobile. Before we could even see the Pope Mobile, you could see people raising their phones, and there was just this anticipation as the crowd that had been gathering for hours turned to watch.
This New Jersey woman says she had to be there.
I thought everybody was very somber during the whole thing. Everybody, even at the hotel that we were staying at, people were talking about it. And it's just an experience that we'll never forget.
President Trump met with Ukrainian President Zelensky in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, where both attended the funeral for the pontiff. This as Trump says he doubts Russian President Putin's willingness to end the war in Ukraine. CBS's Aaron Navarro.
This is the first meeting between these two world leaders since that turbulent meeting in the Oval Office earlier this year, as the two men look to achieve peace and a stop to the fighting in the Ukraine-Russia war. Both sides characterized that meeting on Saturday as productive, and Ukrainian President Zelensky wrote, quote, "very symbolic meeting that has potential to become historic if we achieve joint results."
A federal judge is demanding answers over the deportation of a 2-year-old U.S. citizen. CBS's Michael Wallace.
The judge fears the girl was deported with her mother and older sister without due process. They were seized by ICE agents in New Orleans Tuesday as they checked in for an ICE supervision visit. Justice Department lawyers say the mother wanted her daughter to be deported with her. The girl's father had requested custody of the girl after the mother was detained.
The girl was born in Baton Rouge, but the immigration status of the girl's mother, father, and older sister is unclear. There are several court cases over deportations. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Experts say Milwaukee's lead pipe problems are an environmental justice issue. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
At least 3 Milwaukee schools have closed and about a handful of students were exposed to unsafe levels of lead. As city officials continue to investigate, they are forced to do so without federal support that usually assists in crises like these. Tony Wilkin Gibbart with Midwest Environmental Advocates says Milwaukee was already facing a lead poisoning crisis.
Milwaukee has the highest rates of childhood lead poisoning of any community in the state. That problem is primarily driven by the fact that inner city Milwaukee has been historically subject to redlining, housing discrimination, and disinvestment.
Gibbart says inner city kids may be going from homes that have lead hazards to schools that have lead hazards. Poor families and children are disproportionately impacted. Lead paint was banned by the federal government in 1978, but the majority of buildings in Milwaukee were built before the ban. Wisconsin prohibits municipalities like Milwaukee from requiring rental inspections before occupancy, leading to poorly maintained units and potentially overlooked lead presence. Marty Kanarek, professor of epidemiology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, says research now shows that no amount of lead is safe for children. children.
It slows their growth and development. It affects their learning and behavior. It even can affect their hearing and speech, lowers their IQ, decreases their ability to sit still, to pay attention. And unfortunately, these effects can be lifelong.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. On your Saturday, lots of sunshine, highs near 59 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, 36. Partly sunny with a high near 60 on Sunday, a little breezy. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms Sunday night, a low near 47. Showers and storms Monday, 70.
It's 51 at our studios.
Tell me something good.
Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR. I hope you had a wonderful Easter weekend spending time with friends and family. I had the bonus excitement of preparing this segment thanks to our sponsor for today, the Little Corner Bar and Grill.
All right. Yay. Very cool. Yeah.
So if you're curious about this restaurant and what it has to offer, WiscoFoods.com describes it as a cozy spot in Stratford, Wisconsin, where you can enjoy hearty meals with a warm and inviting atmosphere. This charming restaurant is known for its all-day breakfast, delicious lunch options, and friendly vibe that make every visit feel like a gathering with friends. Whether you're in the mood for a classic skillet, a juicy burger, or a Friday fish fry, the Little Corner delivers comforting dishes that hit the spot. Perfect for a casual meal, this local favorite has something for everyone. And I can concur that that is exactly what it is like.
Nice.
As a part of their sponsorship, I had the privilege of heading up to the Stratford area to not only visit this little treasure, but to interview the owner, Julio Cruz Montejo. Now, please be mindful, English is not Julio's first language, which made communication a little bit more challenging with this one, but I think you're going to enjoy listening to his passion for this business. And so we're going to play this first interview for you. I am here with Julio, who is the owner and chef at the Little Corner Bar and Grill, and this is technically Roseville.
Roselleville,
right outside of Stratford. So it has a Stratford address, but it's a great, literally, little corner in a small town. You blink, you miss it, but you don't want to miss this restaurant. They have a wonderful staff and great people who will greet you at the door as you come in. So, but I'm here with the owner. And to begin, what led you to your love of food? What is your background in restaurant business?
Oh, I started cooking in the first restaurant in Wisconsin Rapids, like 14 years. So I moved here. I'm looking for something by myself. So I want to do my business by myself.
How long ago did you take ownership of this restaurant?
Like a year and 6 months.
A year and 6 months. So for a year and a half, you've been here. What led you to have your own restaurant?
Because I love whatever we do. So I want to do like a... by myself, so I want to do my business, so because I have like a little baby too.
So you want to support your family doing something that you love. And what led you to love cooking? Is it something you did a lot growing up?
No, somebody teach me in Wisconsin Rapids, so I don't like it because it's too hard work in the kitchen. So when I started, I'm so scared. So when I have like a 6 months, so I do like the best one. So I say I'm moving here.
Okay, so why did you decide on this location? Was it a place that you looked for? Was it one that you just happened to find?
Yeah, I like a small one. I don't want to do like a big one, so just small one, so it's easy for me.
Do you have a lot of regulars that come in?
Yeah, the local person is coming here.
So what is your favorite thing on the menu to prepare?
Everything I want to make it. Yeah, I love whatever it is on the menu and so.
And what led you to develop the menu that you have? Because it's a pretty diverse menu. There's a lot of different things on the menu that you make. What made you decide to have so many of these different things?
Because I have experience to make it, so it's more easy. So I don't want to do like a different kind of food because I don't have space to make a lot of food.
So these are the things that you're experienced at making. Is there one that you like to make the most?
Yeah.
What is it that you like to make the most?
Like prime rib, lobster, T-bone steak, Mexican, something like tacos, chimichanga, nachos, quesadilla.
So you like a lot of the Mexican food? Is that more from your childhood then? Yes. Okay. So tell me about the lobster. Where do you get lobster if we're in the middle of the country?
With the Reno, Ryan Rhodes. Ryan Rhodes, yeah.
So you found a distributor that's in the area that helps you out. That's wonderful. So what is one thing that you would recommend to somebody who might be interested in cooking at home or in the possibility of opening their own business? So what would you recommend to them about cooking?
Like T-bone, prime rib, and lobster, and some fish too on Friday.
So cook extravagant things. And is there a special technique? Is there a special skill you need to be able to make these unique items?
Yeah.
So what is that skill?
And grill.
A grill.
Yeah, grill or fire. And
utensils.
So have good equipment to be able to make the good food. So do you get any of your ingredients locally or are they all from distributors?
Distributor.
And some locally, okay. Is there anything else you would want people to know about your restaurant?
Family owned.
Family place.
It's a family owned family place. I've noticed that you have a lot of regulars that are know you by name. Do you get a chance to know a lot of your customers?
Yes, sure.
Mm-hmm. They're all really, they're family to him. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to have somebody come here to have food? What would draw them here to eat?
Yeah, it's homemade food.
Yeah. Dining outside, good drinks, homemade drinks.
So do you like cooking better in the summer or in the winter?
Anytime.
You just love to cook. There's a family business behind this, and you said you want to support your family. How big is your family?
I have one little girl, 16 months now. So I have one boy to 17 and one girl 16.
So your teenagers, do they help here at the restaurant?
No, it's not here. Yeah, it's in the school.
They're both in school. Okay. So they don't help in the evenings or anything? No. Are you hoping that one day they might be interested in participating in the restaurant?
Yeah, he wants to.
Your son does. What would you start him doing?
So he wants to start with me. So if it's work with me, so I'm looking for some new one.
Would he help you in the kitchen? Yes. Yes. What would you show him to make first?
Whatever me can hear, so I have experience to teach him. So when he got, looking for a new one by himself.
If he wants to, teach somebody, then he knows how to teach somebody is what he's trying to say.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for taking the time. Is there anything else that you want to say to our audience?
Every customer is welcome here in Little House.
And when he says that, he means it. You come in the door and they greet you with a smile. Thank you so much for being willing to meet with me.
Yes, thank you very much.
So you heard a female voice in the background. That was his manager, Desiree.
Okay.
So she is great about helping him understand what mm-hmm. people are asking and mm-hmm. then kind of interpreting for him so that we can understand. She also is one of their bartenders, and she warmly welcomes you as soon as you walk in that door. I got to visit on a Tuesday, which is their taco night, and she let me do a little bit of a taste testing with Julio's Specialty Street Tacos. Mm. So I spoke with her a little bit more about the restaurant and was able to share a little bit about the food. So we're going to play that clip now.
This is Desiree. She is the manager here at the Little Corner Bar and Grill. So how long have you been with this restaurant?
Over a year. About a year.
And how did you get connected to the restaurant?
My niece.
So your niece was connected with the family, and so that's how you got brought in, which is great. What is your favorite thing about working here?
Probably the people and who I work with, and just being a part of something.
So you've gotten to know Julio pretty well. As you've observed his cooking, what impresses you about how he prepares the food?
How fast he is and efficient he is and how he prepares things and his cleanliness and his ability to create new things.
What has been your favorite menu item that he makes?
Oh, God, really? Do I have to pick just one? I really love our baked cod and our unicorn fish on Fridays. That's my favorite because I love fish. Any of our seafood stuff is good, but everything is good on the menu.
And I can attest to that. Everything is good on the menu. They have let me try the fish tacos and the steak tacos, and they are to die for. The shrimp was cooked perfectly, seasoned well. The balance of the cilantro and the onions were to die for. So it is worth coming out here to just try the tacos on Tuesday. And Tuesday is their Taco Tuesday, so there's always a special for that. But they're also known for their fish fries on Friday. Tell me a little bit more about that.
We have a variety of fish on Fridays, you know, that we serve. We've got cod, haddock, walleye, salmon, unicorn fish, jumbo shrimp. You know, we do that. We have some steaks and stuff, too. And we also offer lobster if you do want it on Saturdays, but that's on Fridays, but that's on Saturdays. So a good, nice beer batter. It's excellent.
You cannot go wrong coming to the Little Corner Bar and Grill. Thank you so much, Desiree.
So it was a lot of fun getting up there, and it's just this cozy little thing. You get to the intersection, and it's just right there, literally right on the corner.
I like the drive up there. It's a beautiful. Nice view. It's a nice view. It's a nice drive. Nice area, too. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, two quick notes, just if you don't mind me throwing in there, Beth. What Desiree does is very similar to what Melissa used to do for me for a long time on the air here. And so I really commend it. She was great.
Yes.
She was wonderful.
She was wonderful. She was wonderful.
There are dozens and dozens and up and down this state of these types of restaurants. Mm-hmm. And the more you go there, the more you're keeping them alive, the more you're helping local economies and impacting them. And that's all very important. And it's one of the defining things we do around here is buying local, supporting local. And that is expanded to all of Wisconsin.
Yes.
That said, there is so much great food out there and so many great chefs and cooks. And I don't know if there's a better thing than finding that one place that's kind of, you know, nobody else really knows about or it's not that popular or something like that, and you find it and you fall in love with it.
Absolutely.
And we want more and more of these businesses to join us. And
I
really feel like we fell into something here, whether it was intended or not, of turning Beth into our Guy Fieri.
Yeah, right.
She's just going to be our Guy Fieri. And we're just going to send her up and down the state at different restaurants.
I would welcome that.
It's what I want to do. I will trade places with you. There's so many great places out there we want to hear from, and we really appreciate the time and investment and working with them because they're really good people.
And the amazing thing was, you know, I'd never been up there before. I was brand new, and you never know what you're going to expect, you know, what to expect when you walk into a new place. I walked in through the front door, and the regulars are sitting there going, hey, welcome, come on in.
Wow.
So you are just greeted not just by the staff, but by the customers, by the other patrons of the bar to just come on in and join and have a great meal in a wonderful atmosphere.
I want to say, too, it's really cool to see someone like Julio. You know, he was working in a restaurant in Rapids here, but he was like, no, I really want to do my own stuff. I want to make my own thing. Having the confidence in his own skill to say, no, I'm going to open up my own place. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much people know about that. Opening a restaurant is a lot of work. You got to put so much into that, and there's no guarantees that you're going to be successful.
It is more likely for it to close in the first year than it is to succeed.
Right.
And the fact that he's been going for a year and a half tells you he knows what he's doing.
He does.
And he wanted to be able to do it his way on his own, and he found a great little spot to do it.
Cool.
So I thoroughly enjoyed my trip up to the Little Corner Bar and Grill, and I look forward to not only going back there, but the opportunity to promote other businesses who, like them, would like to be a sponsor of this segment. So you can explore that option of sponsorship from highlighting to your business to during this segment to an interview or even a broadcast live from your business. If you're interested in learning about these opportunities, just give us a call at 715-424-3300 1300 and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley, who will work out all the details with you. That number again is 715-424-1300. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah. Excellent.
Another great episode. Yeah, great interview, cool. By the way, too, Beth.
Love
nice
it.
Work. Nice
yep.
work.
Thank you.
Be listening every Monday for in the 9 o'clock hour for another edition of The Kitchen's Open. Keep in mind, next Kitchen's Open, though, everybody, will actually be in the 10 a.m. hour.
Right. We'll be shifting right. down.
Yep. We'll be yes. shifting our show just a little bit. Just a little shifting it a little bit. Just shifting it
I'm
a little
moving
bit.
With it.
Yes, and we appreciate that, Beth. Mm-hmm. We appreciate the work, as always. Good to see you. Thanks for being here. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and have some fun with some entertainment news coming up on the morning show.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Aw, look at that, a robin. Oh, there's a bunny. Hey, is that a little fox running around? Ah, white-tailed buck and a gray squirrel. Wait a second, why are all the critters in the neighbor's yard? None of them are coming on our property. Oh, wait, there's a skunk. Oh, I get it, they smell that stinky skunk. Wait, the skunk has a sign. We are boycotting your yard, it reeks like raw sewage? Call Crockett Septic, 715-712-3456. Honey, you better bring me the phone. We need to call Crockett Septic.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you, too. They'll pump away that stinky, nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whip. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Yeehaw! Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Haphacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We're going to get in some entertainment news in a little bit. We got some other fun topics for you a little bit later. We have, what are examples of being picked last in gym class for adults? Such a good topic.
That's a good one.
We got that coming up for you in a little bit. But right now we got in studio our great friend, Denise the Donut Giver.
That's her new name.
Yes. Denise brought donuts. It's so awesome. Thank you for doing that.
My pleasure.
We want to thank Denise from the Southwick County Humane Society being with us. And a big thank you to our friends at Milltown Coffee sponsoring this segment. Mm-hmm. Big thank you to them. Get ready to get some great coffee when they open those doors, everybody.
Yep. Coming soon.
Really good people over there. We'll be covering that one for you. We'll be having Denise had a great idea too. We'll have
yeah, right.
some Milltown when we're talking about this great organization and great stuff going on over at our Southwick County Humane Society. And Denise, we've got a great event coming up, the fifth annual one.
Yes. Yep. This is one of our earlier events of the year, later spring. Our Riding for Rescues is coming up on Saturday, May 3rd. It is a four-wheeler, truck, motorcycle, you name it. Whatever you want to ride, just going from bar to bar. There are many raffles, many prizes, and all kinds of fun to be had.
Cool. It's going to be a really cool event. This is happening over at the Junkyard Bar and Grill. It'll be going on Saturday, May 3rd, rain or shine. You can register for this one at the Junkyard Bar and Grill. I encourage you to do that over at 9047 Highway 13 in Wisconsin Rapids. This is a cool event, and they got a lot of great sponsors behind it. We're not one of them. And I say that because I want people to know that we still support local events.
Absolutely.
This is important to us. This is our job around here, right. is covering local events, local areas. We certainly want you to invest and be a partner with us and work with us and get in touch with Ashley and all those things. But our job around here, you guys come first. Our listeners
Thank
come
you.
First. And that's what that's why we mention these kind of things.
Thank
and
you.
Old radio wouldn't do that. That's not the way we run things around here anymore. And that's not the way Civic wants us to. So we love hearing about events like this. This is going to be a good one. Fifth annual. Congratulations
yes.
to them. That's awesome.
Thank you. I can't take any credit. This is one of our board members that's been running it all 5 years, and Shelley is just amazing.
Shelly is. Shelly's great. Yep. Yeah. And that's another reason why we mentioned this, too. Yes. She puts a lot into this.
She does.
Going to have some entertainment for you, 7 to 11 at the Junkyard as well. Head on over there Saturday, May 3rd, and get in registering for this event. One other thing I want to encourage people to do before we get to our Pet of the Week is signing up for the Southwood County Humane Society newsletter.
Yes.
You guys got a great newsletter, put a lot of effort into that. And I think it's, Denise, for me reading it, I'm spoiled. I get to talk to you every week, and I know a lot about a Humane Society for many, many years. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's a great resource, especially right now, within the last year or so, when there's been a little bit of rumblings here or there about our Humane Society. You guys are very, very transparent over there.
Absolutely.
And the newsletter is a great resource for that, or just good information.
Thank you. Yeah, we're trying to be transparent and, you know, on the spot with all the latest information and try to counteract if we hear gossip and stories that aren't necessarily true. We're trying to make sure that we come back with positive messages and total support for our animals, staff, volunteers, and our community.
I feel for you that you have to put time and energy into that, considering you are a nonprofit. We know that every nonprofit in the world is understaffed and underfunded.
Right.
This is the last thing you guys need to do, but I appreciate that you do. You take that on.
Thank you.
And I, of course, appreciate you guys being in with us and getting to talk about our Pet of the Week. Denise, who's our Pet of the Week?
We're going to go with Dingo this week. Dingo is a one-year-old shepherd mix. He is full of energy, very loyal, very smart. He's a shepherd mix, and he has a beautiful face. He has like a mustache and eyebrows. If you look at him, he's spectacular. Very unique looking dog, and he gives hugs.
He does
take a little bit to warm up to you, but once he does, he jumps up and he wraps both of his paws around your waist. Dingo is amazing. Great, loyal pet. He does have a lot of energy. We'll give him that like puppy energy almost.
Okay.
So if you're looking for an energetic partner, come on in and meet him.
Got a real German Shepherd vibe to him.
Yes.
He's definitely got that Shepherd vibe.
Very
so
much.
The energy that you're talking about there. And definitely going to want walks and a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most handsome dogs I have ever seen.
He is. He's very unique
looking.
That is
an incredibly handsome dog.
His face is just beautiful.
Just just a poser. He knew the camera was on him.
He would be good on a calendar.
Absolutely. Yes. That is a George Clooney of dogs right there.
I like that.
It's a really good dog. And just seems like just a sweetheart. Like,
he is. Yep. Very loyal.
Almost every animal really has a beautiful heart and is sweet in its own way.
Absolutely.
Certain animals, you just look at them, and even before meeting them, you're like, okay, that dog, that's a lover right there. That's a lover.
Yep.
Dingo also likes to play fetch and tug of war, and some of those things would be a perfect with a family like that.
Yes.
And we know there is a perfect family out there for Dingo and all these great animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely.
Encourage you to reach out to the Humane Society and find out more about finding your new best friend. Denise, before we let you go, anything we can help out with, any certain items in need that you guys have over there?
We still are looking for sensitive skin, sensitive stomach food for dogs, especially some cats. We got a big shipment of the cat stuff in, but we're still in need.
Okay.
Litter for cats. Kitten season is upon us. So any litter or sensitive skin, stomach food for dogs and cats.
When you're picking up some for your furry friend, maybe if you can pick up an extra bit, that is greatly appreciated and a great investment in the work that is being done at the Humane Society, some of the more important work in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Say hi to the team over there, Denise, for us. We'll hang out again next week. Thanks so much for joining us. And everybody check out Dingo. Dingo. I love this. I want a little bit of credit in being able to do this segment. I got donuts to my right. I got Dingo to my left.
Yep.
How am I supposed to focus here? Awesome.
Sorry about that.
No,
it
was sacrifices
great.
He has to make.
Right?
Yes. Thank you, Sedna. Find out more about Dingo and all these great animals over at the Southwood County Humane Society. Check out their website, swchs.com, swchs.com. You can also stop by over there at 2121 64th Street North in Wisconsin Rapids. Give them a call, 715-423-0505, 423-0505. Be sure to follow them on social media. Share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see them that wouldn't have otherwise. And a big thank you to Denise and, of course, our friends at Mission Coffee. We appreciate
them. Yes, exactly.
Get some of that good coffee when they open their doors, everybody. Mm-hmm. We'll be letting you know when they do that. And, Denise, we'll talk again next week. Thanks for being here.
Yes, sir. Thanks. My pleasure.
We'll be back with more show coming up on Mornings with WFHR.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. The faithful and global dignitaries turned out for a final goodbye for Pope Francis in Rome, but prisoners and migrants met his coffin outside of the tomb where he was buried. CBS's Tina Kraus.
The pontiff's beloved Popemobile carried his coffin to the Basilica of St. Mary Major. The nearly four-mile procession marked the first time in modern history a pope's body was taken through the heart of the Eternal City.
The BBC's Debbie Russ reports that President Trump met with Ukrainian President Zelensky in Rome, though Trump says he doubts Russia's willingness to end its war.
The White House called the meeting very productive, while President Zelensky said it had the potential to become historic.
The family of Virginia Giuffre says she died at suicide at her home in Australia. In 2019, she told BBC Panorama,
"This is not some sordid sex story. This is a story of being trafficked."
She was one of the most outspoken accusers of Jeffrey Epstein's CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keys.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. Doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids!
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. Door works for the win.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On April 22nd, in the Wisconsin State Senate, something happened that you don't see too often. A high-profile bill passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. The Republican-controlled chamber voted 32-1 to extend Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days to 12 months. Wisconsin is one of only two U.S. states that has not already extended this critical postpartum coverage. So with that kind of support, you'd expect the bill to pass, right? Well, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has repeatedly blocked this legislation from coming up for a vote. Several Republican state representatives have been speaking out on this, urging Voss to change his tune, but he has not yet budged. It's time for Voss to end this charade and allow this bill to come up for a vote. If he's opposed, he can still vote against it. But one person should not block a bill that has already been supported by the majority of his own party. Let the people vote, Mr. Speaker.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
April is Global Volunteer Month. Find the perfect volunteer opportunities for you at volunteerwisconsin.org or contact your local United Way or Volunteer Center today. Volunteerwisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
The Packers pick another receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where it's day three of the NFL draft wrapping up today. Last night, the Packers added two more players, an offensive lineman from NC State, Anthony Belton, 6'6", 336 pounds, and a 6'4" wide receiver from TCU, Savion Williams. I asked Williams why his college coach had him line up in the Wildcat, run options, and even threw a touchdown.
I played quarterback in high school. I played quarterback my whole life, so I think them moving me in the backfield doing all that, I think that just came from that, just having the ball in my hand right now and just moving around and doing things like that.
Baseball. Brewers and the Cardinals playing again in St. Louis. Last night, the Crew losing 3-2. NBA playoffs. The Bucks with a win over the Pacers in Milwaukee, 117-101.
I think tonight it was like we came with the right mentality. You know, collectively, everybody was up and into the ball. We didn't just let things happen.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. On your Saturday, lots of sunshine, highs near 59 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, 36. Partly sunny with a high near 60 on Sunday, a little breezy. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms Sunday night, a low near 47. Showers and storms Monday, 70.
It's 51 at our studios.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross, calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks for joining us in this new time slot. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
We will be being joined next hour by our great friend Denise in the Southrop County Humane Society's Pet of the Week.
Excellent.
Looking forward to that.
Yes, indeed.
And spoiler alert, might have some tickets to give away at the end of this hour or next hour. Be listening for that, everybody. Mm-hmm. A quick reminder as we segue into lawn care and mowing and all of that.
Nice.
We got this from our good friend, the mayor of Wisconsin Rapids, mm-hmm. here, that the city is adopting a resolution designation, No Mow May.
Once again.
Yeah.
It's good.
There are a number of designated spots in city property that will be unmowed. And, of course, if you see one of those signs, but the signs are not necessary for non-mowing or anything. And certainly, I just speaking for myself, appreciate people doing this. I mm-hmm. think it's important. I think it's great. And I also admit that I sit here, every day, usually talking to an ag agent or somebody in a natural resource educator or something along those lines. So I really understand the details of this, and I encourage other people to why we do this.
It's very important for specific set of pollinators for this time of year that they're so important to the ecosystem that it's just scratching the surface on this is really, it's not only interesting, but it's very important.
Doing it helps not only the ecosystem, which mm-hmm. helps the ag industry, which helps the economy,
it's a circle, right? Yeah.
Do you like money? Do you like your state having
money? How
about
food?
Do you like having green around you?
Yes. Yeah.
These are all factors
very important.
In doing this, and that we appreciate those doing mm-hmm. it out there. Now, No Mow May does end, of course. And then you've got that lawn to tackle. Well, lawn mowing season is upon us, but are you doing it correctly?
Is your dad listening to this? Is he going to take umbrage at you for doing this?
I cannot wait to bring this to my father. just real quick, when we first moved to this area, dad looking for work, and mm-hmm. I was 12, 13, something like that. Mm-hmm. But I back then was in the mode of helping my family,
sure.
And so I looked for odd jobs too, and I mentioned a couple of those here. I cut a goat's nails and stuff and milked a goat and everything. But lawn care was the main gig we did.
Mm.
Especially once my dad made friends with somebody who owned some properties in this area. And, him and I would take turns. I'd make $10 mowing a couple lawns or whatever.
That was good money back then.
I actually don't mind mowing. I put my headphones on, and it's one of those times I get to listen to music, and I just go. And I've done it since I was a kid, mm-hmm. so it's kind of routine and normal. But I have no idea, Seth, if I'm doing it right.
Oh.
I know that I'm doing it right according to my dad.
Well, that's good.
I know.
But is your dad right?
Yeah, let's find out how this goes. So, number one, always mowing in the same direction. You probably alternate on each pass and go back and forth, but that means switching it up every time you mow. Do each pass the opposite of how you did it last time.
Oh.
If you always mow the same patch of grass in the same direction, it trains it to lean that way. Oh. It's not great for the grass or the soil, but some people want that baseball field look, and I understand that.
Right.
But you, I think this can also be a positive for you. Say you go diagonal. you know, for the most part. And then every other couple of weeks or whatever, you go, you know, horizontal or something like that.
Right.
It may not seem like a big deal to you, but it is a huge deal to your lawn, to that grass, to the pollinators. And it kind of looks like it changes it up, the appearance a little
bit
for you.
That's true.
If part of your lawn is a visual thing, I'm not going to get... I don't get that necessarily, but I'm not going to get mad at Americans who for four or five generations, we've been taught, hey, if you have in order to be considered respectful, you have to have a nice proper lawn and your grass has to be this and you have to have a white picket fence.
Which wasn't always the case, by the way.
Man, it rarely is the case. What do you think the percentage of Americans at any generation or any point in human history had that?
Right.
Like, we romanticize so much of
good
this
Lord,
stuff.
Do we.
I mean, for every two people that had it, it's two Americas, man. There was about 90,000 people that didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's said, and I think it's good. But I think as far as like the appearance, outside of like drastic things or doing anything that's going to, you know, certainly drive your neighbors crazy or anything like that.
You want to be a good neighbor, too. I mean,
have fun with the lawn a little bit, I think. Starting in the middle. What the what?
Oh, no.
My OCD brain cannot handle this.
Oh, no.
It's mostly just inefficient because you have to move your mower around the yard more, but it's also bad for the grass. Ideally, you just want to make one pass over each part of your yard and not have to roll your heavy mower over it again.
Oh.
Who would start in the middle? That's mind-boggling to me. I'm genuinely dumbfounded by the idea that I'm going to move my mower to the middle of the lawn and like, it's a good place to start. I go to the edge. I start in the far end.
It always, that seems like common sense. I hate using that word, but it seems like common sense to start on the edge, right? That's what I've always done. But
and so my parents got this hill that is a nightmare to go up and down.
I'm sure.
I start there because that's when I got the most energy, and I'm just going to
totally make sense, right?
And then by the time I'm getting done, I'm just doing the easy up and down parts and everything. I don't know. Maybe shockingly to everybody, the overthinker here has overthought lawn care, maybe a little mowing. Not even lawn care, mowing.
He gets a pair of scissors and he gets down real close.
Right down there and everything. Got my microscope. Using the wrong mower for the job. This one I've seen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really need a riding lawnmower? They're hard to maneuver if your yard isn't big enough. The general rule is you only need a riding mower if you're cutting half an acre or more. Most people aren't and should stick with a push mower instead.
Right.
It's good exercise for you.
First of all, you are so right. It's good exercise. And I mean, you can get for that kind of, you know, if you have a smaller lawn, maybe get an electric.
Yeah.
Uses less energy, you know, that's also something to think. I know the cord, because I've used them before. Yeah, the cord is kind of annoying, but you can work around. That's not that big of a deal.
I will say a caveat to this to me is seniors and people who are still,
mobility issues.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. I think that's right.
Making sure that's there. And I understand that's probably common knowledge, but I had to say it. But
it makes sense.
I do think that outside of that half acre. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've only used a riding lawnmower a couple of times. They're kind of cool. They're kind of fun.
Yeah.
But if
you get like some of those like zero turn ones, those are I've got to use those before, and those are fun because you can get really tight corners, go around trees. That's kind of cool. Yeah.
And here's one that they're saying we don't do enough, but my father does quite a bit.
Okay.
He's going to be very proud of this one. You've never sharpened your blades. Dull blades can tear your grass instead of cutting it.
Yeah.
You can buy a sharpener online for about $10, and it's not that hard. Doesn't take that long.
No.
You just don't get them too sharp, because that's not good either. Razor-sharp blades are most likely to chip if they hit a rock. You want them to be about as sharp as a kitchen knife, but not as sharp as a razor blade.
Okay. So, wow. That just sounds a lot more complicated now.
All of this.
But I'm sure it's not as bad as, like you said, it's not as bad as it sounds.
Well,
but
especially once you get in the routine of it.
Of course. Yeah. It's like being afraid of changing your own oil until you do it. And it's like, oh, wow, that's not so hard, you know? Yeah.
I think that especially, you know, we spend a lot on our mowers. And a lot of people out there care about their mowers. They like their mower or something. All of these things that we're talking about is not only good for your lawn, but good for the mower and getting your money's worth out of that mower, especially with the blades. And
For sure, that's a great way to keep it, I mean, survive longer, is just making sure the blade is in good shape. Yeah.
I am going to present this to my father strictly to drive him crazy, and I will report on that.
What are you talking about? Who does that? What kind of crazy world we live in? So you're going to start in the middle?
Don't mention
Wait.
Don't mention robot mowers.
No.
Because they do exist. They do exist.
Yeah, that was anybody that saw a Roomba had to think that eventually we're going to have that on the lawn. That's going to be there. On the lawn. Yeah.
It's there. Of course, didn't Roomba just go out of business, too?
I think they did. That was a little wild to me. I was a little surprised by that. Yeah. That one threw me.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of great things going on in our area in this weekend and the next couple of weekends. Seth and I, a little bit later, will be talking about being joined by some of our friends from CWAC for our Director's Playhouse this weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
And, of course, we've been talking nonstop with our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater and Noises Off and how that's been going. Well, we also want to talk about Lincoln High School Theater and Music Department's The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical. That premieres Thursday, May 1st, 7 o'clock. They'll have a Friday show at 7 as well and a Saturday show at 7. Then they'll wrap everything up May 4th at 2 o'clock with that matinee. Mm-hmm. All these happening at the Performing Arts Center, Wisconsin Rapids. Tickets for students are $10, adults are $15.
Mm-hmm.
While everything about supporting local arts is important, if you're going to go to one thing, if you're only able to do one thing or something, I believe that CWAC, WRCT, anybody would encourage you to attend Kids Plays.
Yes.
For one, oh my God, there is no bad kids play.
Oh my
God. There is no such thing.
You're totally right.
Every kid that you see out there is trying so hard, they're working so much, and to me, it's just the definition of good theater to me, is watching kids do performances.
Absolutely.
And seeing this one, while it means something to, Seth's got one of his in this one.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to mean a lot to him to know you and Beth are in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
But when he sees other people, strangers cheering him on and everything, and clapping for him, the confidence that that young man builds, who knows where that takes him?
You never know.
And that's one example. Every one of those kids gets that feeling. Mm-hmm. And you don't get a lot of opportunities in life to invest in the future like this.
Right.
You are building kids' confidence up. We don't know what they might do. And they probably aren't going to turn out to be actors or anything.
No, majority won't.
But whatever they do, they're going to need some confidence with it.
Yep.
And you get the opportunity to do that while also taking in the arts, supporting local theater, supporting the arts in this state, adding to the economy of this state and the arts. All of this, and you're just taking in a good show.
That's all it is. But you are absolutely right.
And how would you like to go for free, everybody?
Wow, that's even better.
Yeah, yeah. I want to thank Sarah over there at Lincoln for getting us these tickets. I got a bunch of them here, everybody. One, two, three, four. I give away four tickets right now to see this amazing show, The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical, premiering Thursday, May 1st, over at the Performing Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln
a week
High
from
School
today.
Theater and Music Department, a part of this one. You want these tickets? You call up and let us know one of your favorite plays. I want to own one of your favorite plays.
Okay.
You can even say The Lightning Thief.
Seems like it's maybe you've seen it before. Who
teed
knows?
Up for you right there. But call up and win these tickets, everybody. 715-424-2600. Just a touch away in the Civic Media app. We'll be back with the Pet of the Week from the Southwick County Humane Society.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Aw, look at that, a robin. Oh, there's a bunny. Hey, is that a little fox running around? Ah, a white-tailed buck and a gray squirrel. Wait a second, why are all the critters in the neighbor's yard? None of them are coming on our property. Oh, wait, there's a skunk. Oh, I get it, they smell that stinky skunk. Wait, the skunk has a sign. We are boycotting your yard, it reeks like raw sewage? Call Crockett Septic, 715-712-3456. Honey, you better bring me the phone. We need to call Crockett Septic.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you, too. They'll pump away that stinky, nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whip. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Yeehaw!
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back, everybody. Mornings with WFHR. Lauren James hanging out with you for the hour. Hope you're having a good one out there. Feels interesting to be in the 10 o'clock hour here.
It is so weird being 10:30 right now.
It's a little weird. I'm used to doing some recording and production and everything. It's a little interesting. It's a little weird.
We'll get it. It'll be fine.
Yeah. We're really happy to be able to hang out with you guys a little bit longer
in
the morning and get you ready for your afternoon. That's something that we're really enjoying around here. And something I've been enjoying too, Laura, is just reading up on some of the stuff that's been coming up in the business world with the youngest generations.
Sure.
And the things that they are adapting with and to, it's a world that I can't relate to. Sure. Coming from the childhoods that these most of these kids had, if not all these kids had, with tech and some of that, and how they're adapting to the modern world with those things.
Sure.
Where I myself have, you know, kind of had to learn on the fly. So much of this is just common knowledge to some of them.
Yeah.
So I think that the first immediate thought for a lot of people is, oh, when we're talking about Gen Z or something, or millennials or any of these groups, that they're going to go to the tech world, that they're going to go to this or this. But Fortune magazine, and you can find the complete article at fortune.com if you'd like, had a really interesting article. As millions of boomers, boomer accountants get gear up for retirement, the industry is facing a talent shortage crisis. While it's been lamented as one of America's most more kind of boring jobs or whatever, and headed down a path of extinction, Gen Z is revitalizing this six-figure career opportunity and gaining experience by helping individuals file their taxes for free. So there is over like thousands and thousands and thousands of Gen Z people who have gotten into accounting. Like, it's not like a couple hundred. Like, we're talking a gigantic number here, a huge shift of kids, people that have seen an opening and they're taking it.
Exactly. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot. I'm not going to say that it's necessarily a culture of desperation a little bit, but it's not that. It's Gen Z kids looking at millennials with their degrees and jobs that have nothing to do with their degrees and wondering how they can do it better, how they can be more successful by that metric, you know? And I don't know, that's a wise choice.
I mean, it really is a business 101 in many ways, where, you know, hey, there's an opening here.
Exactly.
Let's take it.
Accounting is a need. It's something that's never going to go anywhere. And I'm pretty sure, was it last year or the year before on TikTok, that the finance was trending in Gen Z. So, like, this isn't that wild. They had that whole song, I'm looking for a man in finance, 6'5", blue eyes. Something.
So, 6'5", I thought it would be six figures.
They said 6'5". It was a song about reaching a little too high.
Gotcha.
It was, you know, looking for a man in finance. And it doesn't surprise me that people are looking at that.
For a field that is often judged as less exciting than others, according to one study, it is the second most stereotyped job of boring people.
Sure.
The crisis couldn't get much worse, but then this happens, and it's really, society has almost not even noticed this shift going on with older people,
because
older
accountants,
and younger ones. Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's kind of nice. I don't know. It's just kind of nice that that's the way it's working. That's how it's supposed to work.
Every generation has a ton of self-reliance in its youth. I can tell you that for certain because we're still here.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen without
the whole
that.
"there are future" kind of thing.
Whether we're talking about the greatest generation or Gen Z, where you've seen this as a young people step up or something. But what we're seeing in these last couple of generations, if you will, that are in the getting ready for adulthood or in adulthood, what I've been blown away by, along with this and in certain jobs like accounting and that, is this rise to jump into politics and to get involved.
It's because they're looking at their future and they don't like what they're seeing.
Yeah.
And I can't blame them.
And I don't think that's that different than your generation or my generation, but I do think that we're seeing a little more action from
exactly.
that.
Our generations were too cynical with it.
Yeah.
They were 100%. Too quick to throw up their hands and say, well, we can't do anything anyway, and just, you know, keeping our hands in our pockets then.
The idea of the ultimate rebellion not even being involved.
And that's such bullcrap, because all you're doing is opting out. You are not helping anybody, least of all yourself.
I agree.
I also would say that perhaps a boring job like accounting is nice because it's predictable, and then their lives can be as chaotic as it can be, and they still have balance.
I want this to be very clear to the audience and to my bosses and my owners, or the ownership around here and everything. I love my job. I am thankful to have this job. Mm-hmm. At the same time, times like this.
A boring job sounds nice
sometimes.
Sounds
kind of nice. Sounds kind of nice to just clock in 9 to 5 and be done with the day and all that. It does sound kind of tempting sometimes, but I could never do it. I would never survive in that world.
I didn't survive well in that world.
A website, and we go to the other direction a little bit here. A website has put out yet another list of common skills that boomers are shocked shocked that Gen Zers don't know. And here are some of them. And this, to me, is more about just fun with sure. with life and, sure. and the way things evolve and change. Not so much picking on anything.
No, but, teach but their it own also however feels a little it. Bit like boomers are out of touch.
You can look at it a number of different angles. Mm-hmm. And if you are in a certain generation, you're probably going to.
Yeah.
So how to read a map and figure out directions without GPS?
Oh, for the we still have geography classes, guys.
I mean, I don't know that I've run into this where I've run into some any generation that doesn't know how to read a map.
Right.
But okay. But it's like if each one of these you're going to push back on, sure. you're going to be
Did they just think we were going to retire paper?
Speaking of how to address a piece of mail.
Oh, come mm-hmm. on. That's in sixth grade English.
Mm-hmm. how to unclog a toilet using a plunger.
Friend, we all use the toilet. Of course they know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think that some of this is coming from a almost joking place.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't get too bent out of shape about it or take it too personal.
Okay.
I mean, you can, but this is kind of a light comedy show. So we kind of tried to go light with it. How to count correct change.
Okay.
That one. Now, can you see where these are coming from?
I honestly, no.
Well, we certainly aren't using more. We use less real money than we ever have in society.
Sure.
So younger generations, like I could see how if you were older and you didn't realize you didn't, you know, I could see where they're coming
from. I guess
from.
If you've never used paper since then, like it's not like we retired paper and change. I guess I don't get where they're coming from. I'm sorry.
How to type an actual keyboard? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How do mend clothes and sew on buttons? So I actually know more younger people that know how to do that than older people.
Exactly.
Mm.
Yep.
So how to cook?
Okay.
So the thing that I'm looking at this, and I am not Gen Z,
and
so
I
guess I'm not getting
issue
as
is I'm looking at it as a parent of a Gen Z kid or two. And it feels like the responsibility then is on the parent and the education system. And I feel like my kids know how to do those things.
Yeah. I'm just not taking this as literal. I'm looking at this more of almost laughing at the idea of what they think and not what they're, you know, to me. Idea that we would forget how to cook or we would not cook or something
and
like
people
that.
People still have to eat.
How to do basic handyman skills. That's
sure.
Another one.
Yeah.
Now, what about how to write a check?
See, now that I could almost get, except that checks are very straightforward. All you have to do is really look at it to figure it out.
And I feel like this list is way off. I feel like they should be going with things more so. I just don't know if you were seeing the funny in it. To me, I think that it needs to go more like, you know, the idea of how to use a hand crank things that we stopped using in society.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like they're trying to say that things that aren't obsolete yet shouldn't be understood by Gen Z by the logic. And I'm not. Following
the classic one to me is the old rotary phone,
right?
That's the
right.
one that usually that I would expect would have been the first one on this list.
And I don't know that Gen Z would know how to use a rotary phone.
Now that's funny.
Generally,
I think that's kind of funny. I think that's
funny. A keyboard on a computer.
Yeah, that
not
doesn't
funny.
Make a lot of sense.
Well, addressing an envelope? Not.
how to write cursive. That's one that's becoming. Now, told me that actually this came up off air the other day. You were saying that they had brought this back.
They are still teaching.
Yeah, they're still teaching it.
They
are still
teaching cursive. And I think it's less of a. I don't think people are as concerned about precision with cursive as they once were, because your penmanship is no longer as important since most things are typed.
Boy, there is young me that's screaming, "See, Mom!" You know, because my penmanship is horrible.
Yep.
How to drive stick shift?
I barely know how, so that's fair.
And that's one of those ones where I would encourage everybody to know if you can.
Yes. If you are forced to drive a stick shift and cannot, I am sorry.
I think it's a good skill to have, just because it's one of those things that if you don't know it, it's exactly. probably going to come up. Right. Then again, if you do learn it, it probably never will come up. That's just the way life right. works.
If the only running car in town is a stick shift, I can get by. that's as good as I am at it.
Given a, like, now, so if you got your every, like, certain vehicles, I'm not with it, but you got a truck or something like that, I prefer a stick shift, actually. How to read Roman numerals.
I suppose. I mean, I guess it kind of depends on a lot of things there.
Yeah, yeah. I also think that, leaning into the Czech or the Roman numerals or any of these things.
We don't use those.
We just don't.
And, I mean, we do for the Pope and the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and two boomers out there, how great are you really at Roman numerals?
Let's see you write a Roman numeral 37.
How many times have you been watching the end of a movie and the end of the credits and you see the Roman numerals pop up and you're saying it? Like,
right.
Where do we, outside of this?
Pause to look at it for like 5 minutes. Okay, this is it 2003? Is it?
The Super Bowl is the biggest game every year. It's one of the more watched, more talked about events. Mm-hmm. People that don't even care about it know that it's going on. And nobody knows what number we're on.
Nope, I don't know.
They throw those Roman numerals up there.
What
and there's
it?
A couple of people that'll tell you that it's this, this, or this, or something like that. But almost every person I know gets this wrong.
Yeah. Was it last year? Do you remember?
No, and I don't care.
Okay.
It's Super
That's fair.
Bowl, and all I care about are the games.
Right?
It's 50 something. It's 50 something.
50 something, sure.
But,
this sounds right.
I mean, it's not just these Gen Z or whatever. I think I could pick on Gen X, my generation, for some of these.
Shoot, the millennials as well. Hey, I'm right there after you.
Now, what I think that would be even more of an interesting list is the greatest generation and boomers putting together a list of things that they wouldn't get.
Sure.
I want to hear that list. That
sure.
would be interesting.
Sure. Because what do you not get? Oh, you mean social media? Sure.
I think that'd be more fun.
Oh.
That'd be more interesting.
Right. You can't code? Come on over, Grandpa. Let's figure it out.
One of the ways that I think we get we get by as a world is when we lean into it, we are able to laugh with each other at
yes.
our differences while also helping each other with our differences.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are here without the older generations.
Correct.
And the older generations rely on that younger generation to keep things moving.
Yep.
We all need each other.
Yep.
And I think comedy is a great equalizer.
Sure.
So to me, this is...